Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just past 4:30, no, ladies and gentlemen, this is not Christian Zubé, it's not even Pablo Rodriguez. We've got even better. Here is John Edwards with sports. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, you got your white beard and your Santa cap all set to go?
Well, the white beard comes naturally these days. The Santa cap I have to go find, but...
Okay, I mean, he still looks like Michael McDonald, formerly of the Doobie Brothers.
Either that or Zach Galifianakis.
Either way, I think people have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
NFL, John, that game last night in Seattle was totally bonkers.
You know, showdown for probably the number one seed in the NFC, and it lived up to everything and more. And the Seahawks were down 30-14 in the fourth quarter, looked dead and buried. And then tied the game on the strangest two-point conversion play you'll ever see in your life. You know, after the Rams scored a touchdown in overtime, the Seahawks went down and replied and won it on a two-point convert.
The Rams go from first to now being, what is it, fifth?
I mean, that's the thing, is that the difference between being a division winner and not in the NFL is huge. It means that if the Seahawks keep going as they are, they'll likely be the first seed in the NFC. The Rams can do then no better than fifth, which means they'll be on the road probably any playoff games that they have.
It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite time of year, and now they've got Saturday games and Sunday and Monday night. Boy, it's football wall to wall.
Between that and the first round of the college football playoff, it's a big football weekend all of a sudden. The Saturday's games look pretty good. There's Eagles and Commanders at 5, and then Packers-Bears at 8:20. That'll probably decide the NFC North title, or go a very long way to deciding it. Sunday at 1, they seem to have assembled the worst set of games they could ever possibly do. I'm here for Jets-Saints. If you're there for performance art, Vikings-Giants at 1 o'clock.
Performance arts, okay.
If you can get it, the Jags-Broncos game looks pretty good. The Jags are suddenly 10-4, and the Broncos are 12-2. Steelers-Lions is also good. See a pair of teams who are trying to get into the playoffs and probably need that win on Sunday to do that. And then Patriots-Ravens Sunday night should be good, and the Ravens are another team whose playoffs hopes are a bit on life support. 49ers-Colts on Monday, so it's a pretty good weekend for that.
A few words about the fall of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I think just this year is the year where, in some ways, the luck ran out. And last year, the Chiefs had a knack of winning games that they didn't look like they ever should. This year, they started losing those games. I don't know if it's sort of that everybody got old all at once, or if last year's tricks weren't working. But so now they've fallen from being Super Bowl contenders at the start of the year, so everybody thought, to now they're out of the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes has a torn ACL, so he's out hopefully for them. He's back in time for training camp next year, because ACLs take a long time to heal. So, you know, and this is probably the end for Travis Kelce. So the rebuild on tap for KC.
Yeah, poor Travis is going to have to spend all his time with Taylor. Oh, man.
I think he'll be fine.
Hopefully so. Hey, you Vancouver Canuck fan. How'd you feel when you heard about Quinn Hughes going to Minnesota?
angry that Canucks management couldn't work out a deal to hold on to him, because this has been brewing for a while that Quinn Hughes was going to hit free agency. The assumption had been that he was going to end up getting traded to New Jersey because that's where his two brothers play. But instead, he's now in Minnesota, and the Canucks got a pretty decent return for him, three players and a draft pick. So I'm reasonably happy about that. I mean, it's a sign that the Canucks finally need to actually undertake the rebuild that they've been trying to put off for a long time.
Yeah. John, just to end this, there was to be a progressive opening of the ice trail, skating rinks, and municipal slides in Magog. That could, of course, change with the weather today. Before heading out, check the InfoGLIS module for current sliding conditions and the status of facilities. VillMagog.qc.co, InfoGLIS. Same goes for Sherbrooke, Knowlton, and Granby, and all those other towns locally, okay?
I check the Ville de Magog's website even if I don't want to go sliding.
Good boy. All right, we talk at 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM. Weekly news review on the Friday Drive.
Time for the press review. In a totally crazy week on the provincial political scene, marked by the bombshell resignation of CAC Health Minister Christian Dubé and the stepping down of Pablo Rodriguez at the Liberal Party of Quebec. Time now for Magog-born and raised Robert McPherson, an experienced journalist and editor who's worked extensively for The Record and Agence France-Presse. Live from that township's hotbed, London, England, how are you this week?
I'm pretty good. Back home in London, I crossed the Atlantic in the world's only true ocean liner last week, and all I got was a common cold.
You can't win them all, you know.
Yeah.
All right. What a great segue, as here in Quebec, Robert, there's some part resolution to the doctors' dispute. You were saying that in England, resident doctors are striking for the 14th time in 33 months.
26% pay raise that the government says it cannot afford. And we're going through a, nobody says the word epidemic yet, but an outbreak of a very serious form of flu this winter. Let's say public opinion is not really strongly behind these doctors as they pursue their industrial action, as they like to say here. But going back to Quebec, yes, Legault government kicking Bill 2 into the grass, at least until the end of February next year. As they amend the legislation to incorporate the deal that they've reached with the Family Doctors Union. But certainly a setback for the Legault government, that's what it looks like. And a lot of work will have to be done to repair the damage done. Fair to say this is a government that, you know, over its years in office, is, when given the choice, seems to favor a heavy-handed approach, greater centralization, and policies that all seem to be drafted in the rough on the back of a cocktail napkin. Let's also remember the next provincial election is due on October 5th next year, if I'm not mistaken. And as things now stand, François Legault and the CAC are still very much in intensive care as far as the voting public is concerned.
To me, it's just another sign of the heavy-handed style, Robert. All the anxiety that was caused over these negotiations, and you look at the end result, and it's no better than it was before we started.
Yeah, it seems that way. And the heavy-handedness and the kind of incoherent policy thinking was evident, I think, also in the language laws that the Legault administration put into place.
Moving on to another subject, the high-speed rail situation. The Carney government says construction on a Montreal-Ottawa high-speed line starts in 2029. It sounds promising, maybe even a township's connection to Boston or New York someday.
Oh, you imagine taking the train from Coaticook or Magog, go have a fun weekend in Boston or New York? I can't help but have fond memories of riding the Canadian Pacific bug car service into Montreal in the 1960s before it was made redundant by the autoroute. You also remember Canadian National's turbo train between Montreal and Toronto, that groundbreaking technology in the 1970s?
I don't remember that.
Oh, I do. That's kind of bulbous train that was powered with the Pratt & Whitney turbo engine that is otherwise still used in commercial aircraft today. Anyway, back to the trains. Finally, a big infrastructure project announcement, an idea that started with Justin Trudeau's government, and Mark Carney is carrying on with it. The only problem with high-speed rail that I can see is that there's nothing high-speed about building it. It's easy in a place like China where no one can say no if the government wants to expropriate your land to lay down the tracks. And even in the UK, they've been working on something called HS2, a high-speed rail line between London and Manchester. And that started like at the beginning of the century, around 2000. And it was supposed to be in place next year and is still nowhere near completion. They're now saying it's sometime in the mid-2030s, maybe even into 2040. In the meantime, you just have these building sites all over parts of England. Anyway, as far as the Canadian project concerned, yes, they have said they are setting off deliberately on a modest footing, and probably the best way to keep costs under control. Anyway, remember what they used to say back in the days of Trudeau Senior, that the best thing about Ottawa is the train to Montreal?
Didn't remember that, but thanks for bringing it to my attention.
It was Jean Machal that was the one who coined that phrase.
Okay. You know, I was in Japan last month, where train travel is everything to its citizens. Do you see a Canada where train travel surpasses the car?
Gosh, I don't know. I think population density matters a lot. And if you've got sufficient demand to do so from between point to point, then yes, it's possible. But Canada is still a very spread out kind of place. And thinking again for the townships, just you know, older townshipers will remember when you had the option of two trains from Sherbrooke, one on the old CP line. Well, now it is again the CP line through Magog, Eastman, Foster, Farnham, and the big loop to get into Windsor Station once you got on the island of Montreal. Or you had the train from Sherbrooke going up Drummondville, I think, and then to Acton Vale and into Central Station with Canadian National. Thinking also about how difficult it is to build any kind of rail line is look at how long it's taken to decide where they're going to place the new train tracks around Megantic. That is a good example of just how complicated a project like this can be, particularly when it comes to finding a route and the environmental consequences, and especially expropriating the land.
In Australia, sadly, anti-Semitism, Robert, rears its head again, this time at Bondi Beach in Sydney, where a father and son opened fire on a Hanukkah festival.
I mean, it's very rare also that any perpetrators of a mass shooting come out alive themselves. So the fact that the son is in custody, although seriously injured, I understand he might be in a place to tell us exactly how and why they chose to carry out this atrocity. It would also be interesting to hear firsthand from the gentleman, the fruit shop owner from Sydney, a Muslim immigrant from Syria who's been in Australia, I think, a couple of decades now, who was injured whilst tackling one of the shooters and is certainly one of the heroes of this tragedy. The Australian Prime Minister is suggesting a connection with Islamic State and that the shooters may have traveled last month to the southern Philippines, where a Muslim insurgency has been going on for quite a few decades now. ISIS and Al-Qaeda may not be on our headlines as much as they were back after 9/11 and the Iraq War, but they're still very much out there and making an impression among some people. And of course, Jewish communities worldwide are feeling more vulnerable to attack, even more so given the passions aroused by the Hamas attack on Israel 2 years ago and the war in Gaza that followed.
It's a sad world, man.
Say nothing also of the shooting that we happened almost coincidentally at Brown University in Rhode Island.
I'm without words.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner, I have to say, this one really shocked me. Reiner and his wife, Michelle, found stabbed to death in Los Angeles with the son in custody. He went from Archie Bunker's son-in-law in All in the Family to directing classics like Stand By Me and A Few Good Men and When Harry Met Sally, one of my all-time personal favorites. And what do you make of Trump calling it Trump derangement syndrome and almost applauding how this went down?
I mean, it's just Donald Trump on brand again, isn't it? Outrageous enough that even some of his MAGA followers and on social media may be enthusiastic supporters of Trump, but there are also fans of Rob Reiner's movies. So he managed to even put those people off. Very childish on the president's part, but perhaps an example of what his own chief of staff has called Donald Trump's, quote, alcoholic personality, unquote, in an interview in the current issue of Vanity Fair.
Yeah. For him to be killed like this. What's your favorite Rob Reiner film?
Gosh, I think When Harry Met Sally is a longtime classic. That's someone I always remember. It was even remade into a Hellman's Mayonnaise commercial for one of the Super Bowl adverts recently, wasn't it?
I'll have what she's having.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is it? The original line was done by Rob Reiner's mother, of course, in the original Harry Met Sally. In the mayonnaise commercial, I think it's Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, but it is Sydney, help her name. What's her name again?
Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney does the iconic line.
Yeah. I enjoyed Misery. We've watched Stand By Me so many times. And there was a John Cusack film, which he directed in the mid-80s, The Sure Thing. Again, one of my favorite films from him. He was just a wonderful director who knew how to connect with audiences.
Very prolific, very versatile, very at home in so many genres, and also his work as a producer. One of the people instrumental for putting Seinfeld on air, but also very well connected with the Democratic Party. In fact, I believe Michelle Obama and Barack Obama were actually planning to meet Rob and Michelle Reiner on the same day they were found dead or the following day.
My being the big movie fan, that one hits home. The prolific and Magog born and raised Robert McPherson, thank you so much for these past couple of weeks, and I just hope the best of a holiday season for you and Grace.
Absolutely, and same goes out to you and yours and to all the listeners back home in the townships. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
From the Brome, Missisquoi region, with stories for you from this week, Shelley Meisner, the board president. You know, I was just thinking about you, how engaging your personality is, and I so do look forward to talking to you every week. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Ho, 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 and merry, merry, best of the season to you.
What's Christmas looking like for you?
Well, it's been quite a kickoff. CIDI did their first Midnight Madness in the town of downtown Knowlton on Victoria Street. We even had our own live DJ with Holly Bailey, otherwise known as Bobcat, playing music with a fire pit, sold a bunch of new memberships to local people, and got a lovely donation from the folks in Abercorn, which was really unexpected but very welcome. It's obviously going to be a ritual that we will experience on an annual basis for sure.
Midnight Madness was out of sight. There was a really large turnout this year.
Unbelievably so. In fact, I think the municipality is going to have to start considering how they're going to truck people in and out and have parking spaces available for them and having them being trucked in. They've walked all the way from the beaches and the whole town was just booming.
Cultivating Community is next, and your dog Cash will have his own segment. Talk about that.
Well, you know, Starl started at the Santa Claus Parade, where the four pillars of the community, the museum, the library, CIDI, of course, and the theater, worked and collaborated and created a float together that happened to have six dogs part of the float, which was a big success. Clearly, Cash has indicated to me that it would be important for his words to get out there. As you may or may not know, he's quite a communicator. So we've decided that in the Cultivating Community show, as of the new new year, we'll be doing a segment that incorporates all of the dogs of the community, from Ginger at the library and Poppy at the bookstore and Barkley at CIDI. It's nice to see that there's so many dogs in the community that have connected. Of course, people are walking now way more than they used to. Ever since COVID and the lockdown and people were allowed to walk after 8 o'clock with their dogs, the connection has been very powerful. And I think that they're leading the way in cultivating community.
You know, Shelley Meisner, you touched me quite a lot. And we started talking about how it's important to really do what you want to do once you're retired. And you never stopped. We sort of compared notes on how happy we are under the circumstances. And please go ahead and tell us some of the things that you're involved in at this point.
Start out in our mornings. Every ritual every morning is that we meet the children that are coming off the bus at Knowlton Academy, whether people realize it or not. It's been quite a traumatic experience to live through COVID. So Cash has the pleasure with now his new buddy Barkley greeting the children as they get off the bus in the morning. And the names that they have for him, from Cashapoo to Cash Cow to Cashy, it's quite wonderful to see. And he just lets them love him up. That's a morning ritual that we try to do as much as possible. It does make a difference. The children make comments when we don't make it every day. Having the town recognize that the pillars of the community are very valuable. Recently, the theater has been donated a $3 million donation. And I think that that's the way that we're going to be in the future, where people will recognize the value of what these cultures bring to the community, and that they'll be self-sustaining, and that we won't have to rely on our wonderful governments to be able to support us, that it's going to happen organically because the people that value those things will inject monies to help sustain them.
You are also CIDI board president. Big things on the agenda in 2026.
I think we're just we have 20 shows now on the radio, and we're aiming to do 26 shows for 2026. So if there are people out there that like a certain style of music or would like to have a show, there's a few that are in the works, but if you would like to, feel free to reach out. We're open to having more diversity. We have now 3.5 shows that are French, and we are an English community radio station, but we're a bilingual community and have been ever since I was a little girl.
Community radio keeps doing things the commercial stations can't do. You are an amazing dynamo. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you and your entire team.
And Merry Christmas and safe and happy holidays to everyone. And remember, your health matters.
Township's weather, snow tonight and windy, and a low of minus 8. Tomorrow, clearing, high minus 5. Saturday night, snow, low minus 5. Sunday, periods of snow, high plus 1. And long range Monday, mix of sun and cloud, high minus 9 degrees. Ed Humphrey, just after 5 o'clock, with things to do and places to see in the Eastern Townships. 5:10 interview of the week, Charles Vaillancourt from the Christmas Tree Growers Association. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.